الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. My dear brothers, the Sahabi Rabia bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, he narrates that he said, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night and he asked me for water for wudu. I brought him water and I brought him some other things. And he was so pleased that he said to me, ask me whatever you want. Ask me whatever you want. So Rabia bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make me your companion in Jannah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anything else? So he said, no, this is enough for me. It is enough for me that I should be your companion in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then, if that is the case, help me to achieve this for you by increasing your number of sujood. He said, help me to achieve this for you by increasing your number of sujood. I remind myself and you, today one of the many ways in which we have deprived ourselves of the ni'mah of this deen is by imagining that there are shortcuts, whereas there are no shortcuts. Increasing number of sujood means increasing the number of nawafil that we pray. It's as simple as that. Now, question to ask myself is, how many nafil do I pray? The first and most important of the nawafil are the sunnah after every first salah or before the first salah, as the case might be. This is part of nafil. There is only two kinds of, there is fard and there is nafil, and one of the nawafil is the sunnah. Today, how many of us even pray the sunnah salah, which is to leave a sunnah muakkada itself is a sin. So, and when you say, generally when you say nafil, you don't mean that. That sunnah is sunnah. Nafil is over and above that. So how many nawafil do we pray? The key thing to understand and remember is that everything takes effort. Everything takes effort. Nothing comes without effort. And so also the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sun has risen. The sun is at its zenith, maximum light. But if you and I are in the basement of a building, you won't see the sun. That does not mean there is no sun. Doesn't mean it is night. It just means that you are in the basement. So if you want to see the sun, you have to come out of the basement. You can't bring the sun down the stairs into the basement. But we can take you up the stairs, out of the basement, then you are in the sun. And that is the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only there, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he said that when the slave comes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the distance of the span of one hand, jisko hum usme balish bolte, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes towards him an arm's length, jisko urdu mein baam bolte. And he says, when a slave goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes towards him running. These are the words of the hadith. So it is not that Allah does not want to connect with us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has usul. What in science, what we like to call the laws of physics. These laws are there. If you follow the law, then you get what you want. But if you want to get something and you don't want to follow the law, then there is no hope. And that's why even our teaching and learning systems today, very unfortunate, that we learn Islam, but we want to learn Islam in un-Islamic ways. By un-Islamic, I don't mean haram. It is not haram. But it is not the way in which the religion was taught. For example, in the traditional methodology of teaching, if you went to a sheikh, the sheikh would say, take this kalima from me, Allahu Akbar. End of lesson. The lesson, how long did it last? 2 seconds. Just take this kalima, Allahu Akbar. Go and repeat this. Make zikr of Allahu Akbar. And not just Allahu Akbar, Allah. No, no. Zikr of Allahu Akbar means what? Means you are repeating the kalima Allahu Akbar and you are reflecting on it and you are thinking about it and you are immersing yourself in this Allahu Akbar. Until that Allahu Akbar becomes the part of your every cell of your body. Until it fills your heart with the noor and the azmat and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today what do? Today we go to a weekend class. Weekend class we go to. The weekend class is run like a motivational workshop of Tom Peters. So cram the maximum amount of stuff that can possibly be crammed into the weekend workshop. First of all, title of the workshop also must be catchy so that it can catch the people. Then the workshop must be done in a way where you cram the maximum amount of stuff that you can into the workshop. And then the person is given one binder or a manual which he goes home and keeps, and it collects dust. And the person feels, ah, mashallah, what a lovely workshop. How much of learning I had. You didn't have learning, you were, a whole lot of information was dumped on your head. At the end of the workshop, you ask the person, tell me, what did you learn from this workshop? Nothing. So even though the action itself is a good action, intention behind it also, inshallah, good. Let us assume the best. Somebody wants to teach, some people want to learn, but the methodology is not suited for what you are teaching. It's like somebody goes to a flying school, and in that flying school, what do? You put him in a workshop for two days, and you dump all the information about flying on his head, and you give him a binder, and you say, fine, you are a pilot. Does it make sense? You are a pilot. And the man says, oh, fantastic, I can fly a plane. You can't fly a plane. You can't fly a chicken. I mean, hey, what plane? You never saw a plane. You never touched a plane. You never sat in the seat of a plane. How are you going to fly a plane? You just went to a weekend workshop on flying, about flying. That's it, period. Are you a pilot? You're not a pilot. You're not a pilot in a million years. You can attend a million workshops like that. You will still not be a pilot. Today people wonder about the popularity of yoga all over the world. You know why it's popular? Because what do they do when you go to a yoga class? Does he give you a binder, a book, a lecture on yoga? Nothing. He doesn't even say a word. He just, please sit down on the floor, fold your legs like this. Close your eyes. Breathe through one nostril. Exhale through another nostril. From the word go, he is giving you practice. From the word go, he is giving you practice. And that's exactly what Islam did. What did Islam do the moment we said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? What did Islam do? Islam said, Aqimus Salah. Establish Salah. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you, now you have come into Islam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now here is this kitab about the Asma'ul Husna. Go memorize the 99 names of Allah. Did Islam say this? No. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this kitab and say, oh, this is the book about my glory and majesty. Go read this book. No, he said, stand in salah. Stand in salah. Establish the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, there is no shortcut to practice. You can have, even in life, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't practice, that talent will be of no good to you. I know so many young people, highly talented in their youth. You saw, you looked at that boy and you said, oh, fantastic, this is another Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi in the making. This is another Bin Baz in the making. Which making? He's still making. Nothing happened. Why? Because there is no mehnat, there is no effort behind it. Talent is there. Talent is there, but a ton of talent is not worth 1 ounce of effort. Unless that effort is made, the talent will get you nowhere. I still remember, I've forgotten the name of that basketball player, but one of the most famous basketball players of all time, In an interview, he said that when I was practicing, when I used to practice for basketball, he said, my father had a rule. And he said, you will not go to sleep until you throw 100 hoops. Until you score in the hoop 100 times. So he said, I used to score 99 and on the 100th one, I would deliberately make a mistake. So I had to do another 100. His father says, you can't sleep unless you do 100. And 100 means what? It doesn't mean you make a mistake and you just score one. No. Wherever you made the mistake from, you start from one. Again. So if you make a mistake at 50, you start from one. But he used to deliberately make the mistake on the 100th hoop so that he could score another 100. Imagine what kind of passion there is for that game, basketball. This is a boy, this is a young boy. But he had that passion. So he would throw ball after ball after ball after ball after ball. And that's how he became a great guy. Not because he had the eye for the ball or not because he had this talent of throwing a ball in a hoop. No. Because of hard practice. All the talent in the world, you can be gifted for this and that. All that gift will go into the cover with you. Unless you work hard at it. The greatest gift we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Iman. Is La ilaha illallah. But that Iman, if you really want the benefit of this Iman, if you really want to understand the power of this Iman, if you really want the Iman to illuminate your life, you have to work hard. And that work hard means sujood. It means nawafil. It means zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And zikr, as I mentioned, not walking around with a tasbih in your hand. No. That is riya. That is not zikr. You want to show the world that you got a counter. Who cares? It has to be in the heart. Dhikr is to reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take one of the Asma al-Husna, take a kalima of the Quran, take, read, but with reflection. Don't move forward. Do not read the next ayah until this one is inside the heart. Let it take you a month. And that is very, very important for us to understand. The whole approach to the knowledge of Islam, this is a knowledge of practice. I've said this a million times. Islam is not a theology. It's not a theory. Islam is the name of a practice. If you can't practice, if you can't do it, it's not there. You can know all about it. But unless you can do it, it's not going to benefit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the reality of this deen and enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to give us the barakah of that effort. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.